Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Morning, Tone.
Yeah, I heard that. Obviously, I listened to it live yesterday. You're very passionate, eloquent breakdown. That was 2 days ago. Yeah. And I heard that as well. I've heard every day that you've talked about the Cavs.
Thank you.
The national media are saying something completely different.
What are they saying?
Than what our callers are saying.
Oh, I thought you were saying and than so, what I said.
No, and I'm wondering if we're in a bubble. Because sometimes that happens. Like the media, national media, they're in their own bubble of narratives and is the superstar doing enough? Mm-hmm. Is this team going to break through? Is this a total letdown like on certain teams on any given day? Because we have to have huge takeaways after every playoff game, right?
Yeah.
And the national media, they're literally just saying the Cavs are injured. But what you just said is, regular season means nothing, and will the fans ever care again? And about these things, is it going to be breaking up the what people are saying the sore four? And I'm not hearing any of that. Nationally, they're just like, what a shame, what a bummer it is that the Cavs are injured. And they're not talking about the toughness.
We didn't play Stephen A. Smith yelling about Darius Garland yesterday.
Yeah, we did. We played that. I'm talking about the guys that I listen to that break down. But like Stephen A. just kind of parachutes into all these stories, right? He's the national media narrative guy.
Well, you just
that
said
comes
what,
in.
You just said the national media.
Yeah, the guys that actually like cover basketball for a full time for a living that break down the sport, they're all saying the same thing. Like it's just a damn shame that the Cavs are injured.
Okay.
Here locally, I mean, every call we got yesterday was, well, not everyone, but we had a ton that were just like, tough it out, get in the game. And then, you know, again, I heard Fedor yesterday in afternoon drive. And I've talked to others, you know, at the arena. They're like, what do you want him to do? He's injured. He re-aggravated the injury in the Miami series. It's worse, or it was worse. The only thing that's going to make it better is rest. But now you need him to play.
It's been a weird... It's been a weird week in every sense about this, because I've been pretty defensive of Darius, have I not?
We both have.
You're on the Reddit. I'm not. Have people said that I've been critical of Darius for sitting out?
No.
Because every day I get
you
on.
You haven't been.
Every day I get on social media and I'm going, is there another fat, blonde radio host here in this city? I'm not making it up. Like I'm upset that they lost game two. I was upset. I'm not upset now. I mean, it's Friday. Good God. Like, there's another game coming up in the series.
They but coughed
on,
it up. Yeah.
But on Tuesday, yeah, I said on Wednesday morning, you gave up a 20-point lead, sucked up the room. Everybody else, except for Donovan Mitchell, was afraid to win the basketball game. That's what I said. I'm just making sure, because I go, well, take that about Darius Garland. I go, guys, I've defended Darius Garland. What are we talking about here? So I got to know, is there another fat radio host in Cleveland who has a louder, bombastic voice like I do, and has said that Darius Garland is afraid to play or is soft or anything like that? I didn't call the guys on the bench soft. Said it was a bad look, the whole laughing thing, whatever.
Although we did get tweets overnight that Steph Curry was laughing while on the bench in street clothes.
And that's not a good look. There you go. It ain't a good look. Am I wrong? No, that's a four-time champion.
Right. Yeah, it's a big difference. Like
there is a bit of a difference there.
I highly doubt he's getting crushed however, in Golden State.
However, yeah, bad look's a bad look. I got to call bad look. It's a bad look. But going back to it, I thought the play was soft. The guy's afraid to make plays. To inbound the ball, I think, was soft. You're hurt, you're hurt. Darius Garland, DeAndre Hunter, Evan Mobley, like, if they can't go, they can't go.
Yeah, the Evan stuff. I've seen more criticism of Darius than Evan.
Is it the Termini that's played during our show? Because remember, we had Termini on, and he's giving us this Kevin McHale crap, and I'm going, why do I care about Kevin McHale?
Yeah, he kept saying he played on a broken foot, and I'm just like, how is that even? Are we just over dramatizing things at this point? Like, if you broke your foot, what was the level of basketball at that point? That if you really were playing with a broken foot, that you could get away with playing with a broken foot? Because I'm pretty sure if tonight somebody on one of the teams has a broken foot and stays in the game, I'm pretty sure they'll give up a basket 100% of the time.
Yeah, if they're running up and down the floor, yes.
So I've got to see the broken foot footage.
I was getting in there. The weird thing
somebody can send me the broken foot footage because I just fail to understand how that's possible.
You and I, basketball is the weird thing because you and I get totally different reactions from people about things. Like I got, what are you going to say about Tyrese Halliburton? Tyrese Halliburton wasn't bothered by his injury. I go, I don't know how seriously injured Tyrese Halliburton was.
Well, they did
obviously
sit him.
Draymond, I keep thinking because Draymond Green's in the news this morning. We'll get to him coming up in about last night. Darius Garland, if he ain't able to run, he ain't able to run. Tyrese Halliburton's able to run. And I don't know how injured his wrist is, but apparently it's not injured as much as DeAndre Hunter's thumb.
Again, Halliburton played 36 minutes. I think that was the same in game two as Donovan Mitchell.
Uh-huh.
36 is light for these big games where your season's on the line.
I would think so.
So 36 is light. It was the same thing for Donovan Mitchell. And we've gone into why is Donovan Mitchell playing? He played 34 minutes in the game before that they also lost. So if you combine his minutes, that's 70 minutes, but he's looked like a warrior. Like, at no point have you been like, Donovan Mitchell, give more. How are you not giving more? No, you've been like, he's given all that he can possibly give. You're just wondering, why is it that, like, Brunson played 51 minutes, I think, in their first game? Where is the disconnect? Is Donovan more banged up than we know about? The calf injury? My God, when I hear people talk about calf injuries, I will always think back to, you know, Kawhi had a calf injury that turned into an Achilles. I think Klay Thompson tried to come back from a calf injury and then he blew his Achilles out. Like,
this is interesting.
Man, you get really nervous about guys trying to give it all on a calf strain, even if it's a calf strain.
I remember,
guys get really, really injured.
I remember Wyatt couldn't move. I'm looking at football. Yeah. I mean, Wyatt Teller had two seasons where he was just played by and couldn't really. I mean, if you can't get out of the stance, you can't get out of the stance. Chris Fedor. From where's he from again? Cleveland.com.
Cleveland.com.
Okay, he was on Afternoon Drive yesterday. I want to get the first clip first the O2 first because I think this is pretty poignant. It says the Cavs flat out they need these three players that are hurt: in Darius Garland, DeAndre Hunter, and Evan Mobley.
I don't think the Cavs can win this series without Evan Mobley, Darius Garland, and DeAndre Hunter. Or if those guys are limited, if they're able to play and they're limited, I don't think that's enough either. They got to win four of the next five games, and three of those are on the road, and nobody knows the status of three of their most important players. Yeah, I don't think there's a good feeling about the Cavs' chances in the series today. Now, if we get an update tomorrow at Shoot Around saying, hey, Darius is out there, DeAndre's out there, Evan's out there, and there's more of a chance than what it felt like the other night of those guys playing, then, you know, I might have a different take on it.
See, I immediately got not over the moon excited, but I did get spirited a little bit where Thursday they're at Shoot Around and it's like, okay, Darius Garland and Evan Mobley did some work, but Kenny Atkinson also called it a glorified Shoot Around, or basically a Shoot Around is what Kenny Atkinson called it. Fedor went further on Afternoon Drive. You can hear that interview, 92.3 The Fan and 92.3TheFan.com. He says the questionable listing isn't great for how the fan base sees this.
the listing of these guys is questionable, I understand, is playing into this whole conversation. And the Cavs have to be better about that. They think they're in the right by doing that. Obviously, gamesmanship, not showing your cards, making Indiana have to guess. When you list a guy as doubtful, it's very different than questionable. If you list a guy as out, it's obviously very different than questionable. So they think they're doing the right thing from a strategic standpoint, but it's not helping. It's not helping the optics of these guys. So look, this is the playoffs. All these guys want to play. They have busted their ass throughout the course of this regular season to be in a position to help this team win a championship. You think they want to sit? You think they want to be stuck on the bench, relegated to cheerleaders? If they could play, they would play. They can't play. That's the problem.
You know, I agree with him. I think if they were listed as out, then I think people will be a lot more accepting. When you put questionable and then, yeah, we are. I think they're confused about what he's going to do anyway, about what Darius Garland's going to do, about what Evan Mobley's going to do, because they clearly want to be out there. I mean, if they're trying to participate in shoot around, they're trying to get some blood flowing, they're trying to get work done and seeing whether or not they can go. And so I guess you have to put, because if you list him as out, you list him as out, and that's it. But if you list him as questionable, it's like, well, it could go one way or the other. And then when you see your team losing after you won 64 games, people get angry about that because they want to see those guys out there. Now, you're bringing up some names that I'm sure, well, you haven't said the names, but I'm sure I respect the names of the people who watch the basketball. But when you do have the highest paid guy on the biggest network out there fanning the flames and saying these guys need to what? Limp, the Darius Garland needs to limp his ass out there, I think was the quote. Boy, or whatever it is.
You know what? I didn't mean to gloss over that.
It tends to get people worked
up. You brought Stephen A. There is no bigger name. Does that get back to Darius? Like, is Darius thinking
LeBron
tonight about Stephen A. Smith? Is he thinking, the guy that is the biggest, most high-profile guy on the biggest sports network is crushing me for not trying to go? And what does that do to you? What does that do to somebody like Darius, who Darius does not have championships, has a couple all-star bids.
Yeah.
He's never been all-NBA, I don't believe. This year he had a shot. We're still waiting on the voting to be released in the results. But holy cow, like I just thought about it. Man, if you're Darius Garland and you're just trying to focus on what you need to do and all your rehab and all your treatments, his phone had to have blown up. It's Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah, it influences the opinion. When LeBron, whether you feel that Stephen A. Smith is right or wrong in any given situation, that's different. But when LeBron pulls him aside, courtside, to talk to him about the way that Stephen A. Smith talks about his son, it justifies everything Stephen A. Smith says. I'm sorry, there's plenty of people on plenty of networks that LeBron does not give a damn about what they say about him or his family or anything like that. He doesn't care.
Yeah, has he gotten into it with Rick Bucher?
Not that I know
Paul
of.
Paul Biancardi?
Not that I know of. Somebody here at this station he has. Congratulations on all your success. However, when you hear that, like, yeah, there's, if LeBron, as LeBron goes, so is the rest of the league. I don't care how old he is, it's still that way. And Darius Garland had to be getting told about that. If I was Darius Garland, I'd be pretty angry. And it might also force Darius Garland to go out there and to try to do something that he's not capable of doing, which is going out there and playing on a bum foot.
That's what I want to know, because when all was said and done, if you go back, you try to take a big picture look at things, we're all saying they coughed it up, right? They should have won.
Yeah.
And they didn't have Evan Mobley. They didn't have Darius. So because of that, and DeAndre Hunter, because of that, does he feel the need like he has to get back? They did need ball handling down the stretch. Clearly, having Max Strus and Donovan Mitchell basically quit on playing point guard. He couldn't do it anymore. Max Strus was trying to play point guard. They were hounding him.
Let me break it down to this, because it's this simple. You're right. You just said ball handling. If Darius Garland's out there, do they lose that game?
They win.
They win. So it's at least a 1-1
series. If he can move. If he can shift and pivot. And
I think that's what's probably going through Darius Garland's heads, going, well, this would be a 1-1 series and people aren't freaking out. Like, it's a basketball series. That's the way basketball series go. And then I got Chris over here saying, flat out, if they don't got these guys, the series is over. They're not going to win this series, and we're going to be wondering what if.
And I'll tell you,
forever.
I think this goes without saying. Obviously, you'd like to have any of these guys. But the Evan Mobley high ankle sprain, mean, that is enough that if he can't get that better, they've got no – they've literally – I know people aren't even thinking about the next round or anything like that. They're down 0-2 and they're going on the road. They're not huge underdogs, by the way, the rest of the series. Like, there are plenty of people that still think the Cavs are going to win
now,
the series.
Now, is that possibly because they keep getting listed as questionable?
I think now, if you haven't adjusted to what's been going on.
I see what Chris is saying about how they're perceived in the fan base and how they're perceived in media. But I do think the Cavaliers are going, we hope they're able to go, so we're going to list them as questionable.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I really you could tell, Kenny Atkinson, in every single press conference he does, you can tell he really hopes they're able to go. And he's mad that these guys got injured in game one. He's really hoping that they can go because he knows, like, they're in a bad spot right now. So, yeah, the organization is probably really hoping that they can go, so they put him as questionable. And I think that Darius Garland and Evan Mobley and DeAndre Hunter are doing everything they can, so they are able to go.
Now the Ken Carman Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
Well, before we get into Cavs basketball later tonight, we had a game in the NBA postseason last night as the Minnesota Timberwolves avenged their Game 1 loss with a 117-93 drubbing of the Golden State Warriors. A game in which I thought was going to go south for Minnesota even before the first half ended when Anthony Edwards went down with grabbing the ankle. It looked like he was going to be out for the rest of the game, if not the rest of the postseason.
Yeah, I thought his season was over.
Everybody is getting hurt. Everybody's getting hurt.
So I do have, I don't want to derail everything, I have a theory on this stuff.
Let's go ahead.
Because I think people have assigned whatever belief they have about the NBA and they're just sticking with it no matter what. But if you look at the NBA or the playoffs today compared to 20 years ago, whatever, you could talk about, oh, it was more physical then. Okay, there are different elements of that. They are allowing more physicality now. But the game, like somebody has charted how many more miles these players run during a game compared to what they did 20 years ago. Then you add in the footwork of the Euro stepping and kind of bouncing from one foot to the other.
They should call it a different name. They should call it the American step.
You know what? I think if there was ever time to do it,
now's the time.
This would be the time to do it. So they're all, and by the way, I see like high school kids have all, they've all progressed to that stage where they're able to do it with skill development. If you look at a game 20 years ago, it literally is throw the ball into the post, send maybe one cutter through, have your stationary shooters, and then go to work on the shot clock with like 6 seconds left. Now, they are, all five guys are just moving, running, cutting because of the pace and space. It's a totally different game. So I think that's a big part of why there's so many more injuries.
Yeah, it's true. Never mind. You took it right from me, so go right on ahead, Mitch.
No, it makes sense. Could we have Edwards, after the game, a brief statement on his injury? Scary initially, but he assuring Timberwolves fans he's all right.
Yeah, that one was bad. If y'all see, he like stepped on my foot, so yeah, that one was crazy, but I'll be all right.
And even with Edwards out for the remainder of the contest, I thought the Warriors could come back and make it a game, but you had guys like McDaniels having a solid night. Julius Randle was good from the post. Nikhil Alexander-Walker had 20 off the bench. I mean, Minnesota had an impressive game.
If you just look at Golden State's roster right now, I mean, Jimmy Butler can summon some of those playoff superpowers, but only for like a quarter and a half here, quarter there. He's banged up, remember. They don't have Steph Curry. And just look at the rest of the roster. Draymond Green, you saw he's up to his antics again. It's every game now.
Yep. Yeah.
I think it's because Draymond, his basketball mortality is finally, he has to finally embrace it, and he can't. So he's trying to pull out every gimmick, every gadget that he can, and it's not going to make up for the fact he's losing athleticism. His game was never truly going to age gracefully because he can't shoot. He's had a good year, too. Don't get me wrong, he's had a good year. He was one of the better defensive players. He wasn't Defensive Player of the Year, but he was one of the better defensive players. But you could tell it's suffocating him that he can't play the game at the level he used to.
Well, before you beat me to it, Draymond received his fifth technical foul of the postseason last night. An incident in the second quarter here. And this is Draymond after the game talking about the agenda that is currently being placed against him by the refs.
Look like the angry black man. I'm not an angry black man. I'm a very successful, educated black man with a great family. And I'm great at basketball. I'm great at what I do. The agenda to try to keep making me look like an angry black man is crazy. I'm sick of it. It's ridiculous.
He does look angry, though. I mean,
well, he's angry there, but I've never thought of him as angry. I do think he's done dirty things. I think he was trying to draw a foul on himself this time, and I think that he just... The way he throws his arm, I think he's trying to get a foul on him, and he ended up elbowing Naz Reid in the face.
Of course, but then, you know, the constant badgering of the officials, and part of it's the mental games, but the guys aren't as scared of him as they used to be.
He's not as good as he used to be.
Right. There's no reason to. And plus, you had to be scared of that machine. You know, that was a long time ago. It's 2025. That machine was going 2015, 2016. Yeah, they added Kevin Durant, so changed what they were. But like, that's part of, they can't really back it up.
It's different. It's a different mix now, man. It's a very different thing. And I agree with you. I think that he is struggling. A lot. Some guys are able to settle into what they are. I think he is really struggling, which is weird because he does all these media things. So you think that he's ready for the next chapter in his life. But man, I think on the floor, he's struggling to figure out exactly what he is now.
He just looks exhausting to be around right now on a basketball floor. He might be all those things. He might be educated. I mean, he might be a great investor, which I've heard he is off the floor.
I'm sure he might
be really good on the floor. He looks like such a spaz. It must be exhausting to be in his orbit.
But when you are, and this is the human element to things that I bring up all the time, you have a track record. People are not going to take your side. So you may very well have been just trying to draw a foul. But because of your track record, you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt. I didn't make you punch your teammate in the face during training camp. You punched your teammate in the face during training camp. I didn't make you knee people in the groin. You did. So I'm sorry. There's a legend that precedes you. Yes.
Well, that was the end of the story because I was going to go on to our next segment here, which talks about the
Glad
news
you're
report
telling everybody where you're going
yesterday from NBC News, where former Ohio State football coach and current Lieutenant Governor Jim Tressel confirming Thursday that he is considering, keyword considering, a run for governor in 2026. Tressel saying, quote, "While I have not ruled out a run for governor, I will remain focused on helping Ohioans get off the sidelines and into our workforce so they can reach their full potential," unquote. We talked about this a little bit when he first took office, if there might be some progression here for Tressel in the future.
If ever there was an individual that could get me to vote in a way I wouldn't normally vote politically. They used to call him the senator. Remember, they called him a senator for a reason. Could Jim Tressel be that guy? Jim Tressel, when it comes to leadership, I had one of the most prized interviews of my life when I was a young, intrepid reporter, a very green reporter in Parkersburg, and I got a one-on-one with Jim Tressel, and he spent 20 minutes of his time with me on the recruiting trail. I told that story to so many people. I was like, I've made it. I don't need to interview anybody else. I've made it in my career. Maybe Jim Tressel would be that guy.
I don't think he should do this. I find it hard to vote against him personally. I'll tell you that right now. But I don't think he should do this. He's 72 years old. We've been through the Eddie Reif situation. I think we've come out on the other side going, this was really ridiculous. I don't care if he lied to the NCAA. And I think a lot of folks have come out on the other side, and I find him to be more of a beloved character than ever. With the people in the state of Ohio, you go and you run for governor, there's going to be a lot of things in the past that are brought up.
I was going to say, I might have a picture right here with a future
oh my gosh,
former
Mitch
governor.
Mitch is showing
Whoa!
Us this. There you go.
Me and Tressel, yeah.
Look how proud Mitch is to stand next
Heck
to him.
Heck yeah, man. My dad was beaming. My grandpa was there. It was an awesome day.
That dude could, right now, if he was in studio and took calls and said, name your high school. He has a story about your high school if it's in the state of Ohio. He has an entire history.
How do you, if you are, because a lot of stuff has been performative and in the mud type of stuff here recently within Ohio politics in terms of debates. If you're Vivek Ramaswamy, how do you take shots at him?
Or Dave Yost.
If you're Dave Yost, how do you take shots at this guy? How do you do it? How do you do it and you don't seem like, whoa, wait a minute. Who are you talking about? If you're Yost or Vivek, do you take swings at the other? Like, you always heard the story where Paul Brown would get mad at Jim Brown, but he wouldn't yell at Jim Brown. He'd yell like Bobby Mitchell instead through it. Do you do that? Because who's going to yell at Jim Tressel?
Right, and even,
who is going to?
And after they do it,
challenge him
on the debate stage, doesn't he just look at the camera and say, "Folks, 9-1 Where's that state up?
Oh my gosh.
Does Vivek or Dave get Urban Meyer's endorsement?
Oh, wow. Now we're fighting.
Because we know that Urban can beat Tressel.
Did you see what Urban Meyer said on a podcast yesterday?
What'd he say?
About lying to the NCAA. Because he was talking about Michigan. And he's like, lying to the NCAA should get you fired. Well, that's what happened to his... To the guy that coached before him.
That's the other coach I have a picture with. That's another day.
Whoa!
Finally in baseball, yesterday we had Pirates manager Derek Shelton no longer the manager following a 12-26 start to the season and a 7-game slide. This team is just off the rails. This is year six,
sure,
by the way, of
the
rebuild.
Whoever they have is going to make a hell of a difference.
This is Don Kelly, one of the bench coaches, taking over.
I'm sure he's going to make a tremendous difference.
The guy who's going to lead them to a huge turnaround here, a playoff appearance for the first time in years.
They are 12-26, not the worst record in Major League Baseball. Look at the White Sox have 10 wins. They're 10-28, not the worst record in baseball. It's Colorado, 6-31, which just seems impossible.
Colorado's start is like one of the most underrated things in baseball right now. Nobody's talking about it because the Sox were still bad last year.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
It doesn't seem humanly possible that a team in that sport could have a 6-31 record.
You would think.
You got to be trying to be bad.
Should we start playing Jack Corrigan? Because we did it. We did it with the White Sox.
They made a whole movie about a team trying to be bad to move, and they were not 6-31 bad.
That's it for about last night.
Rachel Phelps couldn't put together a team that was as bad as the Colorado Rockies are right now, or the Chicago White Sox were last year. In the history of the Pope.
We were not going to take it anymore. We're not going to allow any of that nonsense. It's now time.
It is.
Red, white, and blue, baby.
I got to tell you, I never thought about this way. It is kind of really cool to see the pictures of him at like sporting events and stuff like that from back in the day. Because he's 69. He's not that old. Like I know, I've looked at Popes. I'm like, why do you guys elect these guys? They're so old. I'm like, no, this guy's got he's got plenty of miles on him. Like, this is going to be great. And I'm not even Catholic, and I'm excited about this guy. And he's American. I'm going, this is really cool over here. They're all saying it's like an upset surprise and things like that. Tone, your thoughts on the American Pope?
Yesterday, I was just bathing myself in the American flag. I as the true patriot that I am, just reinforced that we're winning, and we continue to win. It's just good news every day. Every time I look up at the TV, I see good things are happening. So,
yeah.
I mean, come on. What is there not to like about an American Pope?
There's plenty of things to like about an American Pope. One that I got to tell you, when I first heard, so there was a big thing going back and forth or that came out at first, and I was a little bit disappointed. Because I was walking in the one studio and Gabe Spiegel goes, did you know that he is a Cubs fan? I go, not really. Because he's from Chicago.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay. And they go, yeah, and he was born on the South Side. Now, he didn't say this on TV, I don't think. And I'm glad because it came out. His brother, his name's Robert, right? I know it was Pope Leo now, but his previous name was Robert.
Yeah, they just
Robert
get to,
Prevost.
They just get to Prevost. Change their names.
Yes. Well, it's Pope Leo XIV.
That's right.
The other 13 pale in comparison to this one. So his brother said, no, that's his brother's name is John. And his brother said, no, that's not true. He's a White Sox fan.
Yeah, he was never, ever a Cubs fan. So I don't know where that came from. He was always a Sox fan. Our mother was a Cubs fan. I don't know, maybe that clued in there. And our dad was a Cardinals fan. So I don't know where that all came from. And all the aunts, our mom's family was from Northside. So that's why they were Cubs fans.
But he rooted for the White Sox.
That's right. But where it came from, I don't know, because he would have been the only one.
Got to tell you, the audio courtesy of WGN, I like him more because he's a White Sox fan. It's easy to be a Cubs fan. Any goofball from any part of the country can be a Cubs fan. I think it's very difficult to be a White Sox fan. They're driving past that stadium with you and the whole thing, it's drab. There's just so much that I'm just like, ugh, God. I'm happy that he's a White Sox fan instead of a Cubs fan.
But it wasn't always that way, right? Like, the Cubs were the losers. They were always ridiculed
as
the losers.
They were the lovable losers. And it was always, like, Ernie Banks and Sunshine because we don't have lights. And it was always, like, a fun thing. Like, they were the fun franchise. And, like, when Bill Veeck was there, like, yeah, they did some fun things except for, you know, Death to Disco. That kind of got out of hand. But other than that, everything else was a little bit fun. And then it just became kind of, like, the White Sox have always been... I mean, let's be honest. The White Sox have always been, if they weren't in Chicago, they would have moved.
Yeah, I always wonder.
They're not a great franchise historically from 1919 on.
On my way to Chicago, I've passed that stadium 50 times, right?
Yeah.
And I have the same stupid thought every time, like, man, I know it's great to be a Major League Baseball player. You're making a lot of money. But driving to that stadium has to be so depressing when you go out at night and you see some Cubs players and you know what their situation
is. It is an office building that you pass on the way to Wrigley Field. I had zero at all inclination when you and I went there to go to Guaranteed Rate or Right Field or whatever the hell they're calling it now. I had zero want to go there. Now, if it was still old Comiskey, like old Comiskey, maybe I'd, because I like old stuff. But I had zero inclination to go there. The White Sox, the Cubs, they got the seventh inning stretch, Harry Carey, the bars right around there. It's a lot of fun. And all I hear about the White Sox is bad stuff. And I don't want to, I would not
do you ever think,
want
though,
to deal with it. You got to be a real fan to be a White Sox fan.
How crazy would it be when we think about doing sports talk in this city? The whole thing is that generally we're united. Can you imagine if there was just another team? If there was just another football team or another basketball team right here in this town, and depending on where you grew up, how you were raised, that's the team that you have to root for. And then the politicians have to do that dance of, I love both teams. I love both teams absolutely equally.
Which is kind of weird. I think it would be, I don't know, I've thought about that a couple times. Like, what would it be if, like, we had two baseball teams, two basketball teams?
You'd almost think every combination, you know, we do two-man shows here for the most part. You'd have to have one of the Guardians fans and then one of the whatever the other
I guess you'd have
team
to.
Was.
Yeah, because I don't think. And then if one of them makes a run, do you.
We'd have the Guardians and
jump
the
behind
Indians.
This. What do the news anchors do? Because you know the news anchors love to do that when they go from city to city.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm a big Cardinals fan until they move. And then,
until their contract
Mariners
is up.
Mariners through and through. Here we are. Yeah, love those Mariners. We're talking about them this morning.
Until they don't get the anchor job, and they're like, why am I still reporting? That girl's terrible. She's not even good looking. Oh, my God, she has wrinkles. Okay, well, I can't punch through. I'm going to another market.
That's personal Lima right there. That's all fair Lima talking.
Don't think
right
I haven't
there.
Seen those fights break out before in a newsroom.
American Pope. Good to see American Pope.
Yeah. I feel good about it. Now, I don't know.
I like it.
I did kind of have the passing thought that when I was watching yesterday, it's one of the things that I'm putting on the TV in the middle of the day. Like, I'm getting texts, my group, and mostly jokes. I mean, mostly the group chats yesterday were jokes about this. Because you do, if you just kind of parachute in, it looks ridiculous. The whole pomp and circumstance, it does look ridiculous. It kind of reminded me
of... I like it.
It's this
stuff.
ancient tradition, obviously. So I'm like, well, I want to see the smoke. Why aren't they showing the smoke? Why did I miss the smoke? Because I didn't just have the TV on all day. And so... they break in every station, every network breaks in to live coverage. And I'm like, show when the smoke happened. I wanted to see the smoke. So I had to go on Twitter to see the smoke. And then you're waiting. The people have nothing to talk about. You could tell they have these not so seasoned reporters who have no idea about the Vatican or the history. And they're just sitting there going, boy, it should be any minute now that the Pope comes out. And I'm like, oh my God, they have nothing to talk
about.
No
idea.
They're busking. They're vamping. They're just going on and on and on until it actually happens. And then when it happened,
it's like us on draft night.
Yeah. Yeah, you're waiting for something.
Waiting for Goodell to walk across the stage, and we just start saying words. And then the worst thing is when they go to commercial break, and then we're just going, yeah. And because they did it like three times before the Browns picks this last year. Andrew Berry joins us at 9:15. I'll see whether or not he can change something like that. But I totally understand that feeling. Now, I know about the players they're going to draft. I had no idea about any of the Cardinals. I had no idea about any of them. And so when I saw the American Pope, I was like, wow, that's pretty cool.
But everything that I've ever said about like how ridiculous the royal family is and why do people care about that, I can understand why if you're atheist, if you're agnostic, if you're from a different belief system, you'd be watching that yesterday going, holy cow, what are these people getting so emotional about?
There is a lot to take in there. I was surprised at the amount of people that were there.
Yes.
I mean, it's because it's like, if you're going to a thing every year, you can plan for it. But Pope Francis just passed, and they know they're going to elect a new pope. So you stop everything you're doing, and you're flying over to Italy.
Well, if you're there, if you were vacationing.
Going to Vatican City.
If you were vacationing anywhere that was within 4 hours
yeah.
of the Vatican.
Well, then I guess you would go.
Are you oh, dropping yeah.
yes,
everything?
Yes,
are you
yes.
knowing
yes,
it's going to
yes.
be a sea of humanity?
Yes.
Now, I don't even
yes.
know. How hard is it to get into the Vatican?
I don't know.
I've never been there.
But I'm going to tell you right now, like if Liz and I were on a trip to Italy, which Liz will not fly to Europe, so I don't know what the hell. But if I say we were on a trip to Italy and we were within 4 hours, like you said, I'm not sure the geography of where Vatican City is either way.
Well, it's right outside of Rome, right?
Okay, I would stop at, well, then you're, I mean, if you're going to Italy, you're going to Rome. I'm stopping everything I'm doing. I'm canceling everything, and we're going to go stand there, and we're going to wait for them to elect the Pope. Yes. Yes. Liz might not want to do that. I'm going to do it. I'm not even Catholic. I'm going to witness history. I'm going to witness world history here. I'm going to stand there with all the people, and I'm going to stare at a chimney for hours and hours and hours, and I'm going to wait to see the smoke. And I'm telling you right now, I would push flights back. Because this was like early, right, that they elected the Pope. Like they've gone on and on and on and on and on before they've elected. I will stand there until they elect a Pope. Because I am not missing world history if I'm already there. Now, I'm not going to fly over there. Mm-hmm. But if I were already there, almost said, hell yeah. But I don't know if that's I'm going to go on right on over and I'm going to watch them elect a Pope. Yeah, that's going to go down. And then I'm going to watch his first speech as the elected pope. And if he were an American pope, I think that'd be pretty cool.
He's got to talk some English.
Well, yeah.
Got to hear some English.
He knows five languages. Yeah, he can go around the world with his languages.
That's all these guys do. They study. They study. A lot of studying.
Andrew Barry, he joins us.
You don't have time for women, so you got to go out and study.
9:15. Andrew Barry joins us at 9:15.
I can't imagine how many languages I would know if I never chased women.
There's a whole Seinfeld episode about that, buddy.
Is it really?
Yeah, 802, Daryl.